الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
پہلی صف کو پہلے مکمل کر لیں پلیز میک شور دا فرسٹ رو از فل کندھے کو کندھے کے ساتھ ملائے پلیز ساند شولہ تو شولہ
اللہ اکبر الحمد للہ رب العالمین الرحمن الرحیم مالک یوم الدین ایاک نعبد وایاک نستعین اهدنا الصراط المستقیم صراط الذین انعمت علیہم غیر المغضوب علیہم ولا والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بعاد إرم ذات العماد التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد وثمود الذين جابوا الصخر بالواد وفرعون ذي الأوتاد الذين طغوا في البلاد فأكثروا فيها الفساد فصب عليهم ربك سوط عذاب إن ربك لبالمرصاد فأما الإنسان إذا ما ابتلاه ربه فأكرمه ونعمه فيقول ربي أكرمن وأما إذا ما ابتلاه فقدر عليه رزقه فيقول ربي أهانن كلا بل لا تكرمون اليتيم ولا تحاضون على طعام المسكين وتأكلون التراث أكلا لما وتحبون المال حبا جما الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. كلا إذا دكت الأرض دكا دكا وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا وجيء يومئذ بجهنم يومئذ يتذكر الإنسان وأنى له الذكرى يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي. فيومئذ لا يعذب عذابه أحد ولا يوثق وثاقه أحد. يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الله أكبر استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله الله
Inshallah, after the remaining salah, a concise tafsir of the Quran will be taking place. All brothers are humbly requested to participate. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا قيل لهم آمنوا كما آمن الناس قالوا أنؤمن كما آمن السفهاء ألا إنهم هم السفهاء ولكن لا يعلمون. We begin in the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the King of all kings, the Master of all masters, and we send salat and salam, salutation, durood upon Imam al-Anbiya, Sayyidul Rusul Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Continuing with the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah, last week we touched upon the verse, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ, when it is said to the disbelievers of Makkah Mukarramah that believe how other people have believed, they would say, قَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُ كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَاء, should we believe, should we bring iman, should we have faith just how these foolish people have iman? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers, Allah innahum humus sufaha. Listen very carefully. It is they who are the foolish people. They are the unintelligent ones. وَلَكِلْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, but they do not know. So last week we just touched upon وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ, that when he said to them, bring iman like other people have brought iman. So who is meant by other people? The Sahaba radiallahu anhu. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the majority of the Sahaba, they were of a lower class in society. They held no respect. They had no dignity. Majority of them were poor. And they had no status in the eyes of these disbelievers. And the disbelievers whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried time and time again to call them towards iman, towards Islam, to the kalima la ilaha illallah. But their arrogance, their love for fame, their love for this dunya, this world, it prevented them from bringing iman. They had takabbur and pride within their hearts, because of which they looked down upon the sahaba. That how can we be like these people? They have no status, they have no dignity, they have no honor, they have no wealth. We are greater than them. How can we follow in their footsteps? They should be following us. So their ego, their arrogance, their takabbur and pride, it prevented them from bringing iman. So we mentioned last week that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over here is showing the status of the sahaba radiallahu anhum, that he has made their iman, their level of belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has made that the standard. That if a person wishes to be successful, then his iman should be like the iman of the sahaba radiallahu anhu. And when we read and listen to the stories of the sahaba radiallahu anhu, a person is left amazed that what kind of believers were they? How strong iman and yaqeen, reliance and tawakkul they had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we cannot even fathom. I normally do talking every week, but come on, let's give you guys a bit of a chance. Who can give me a story of the iman of a sahabi, the level of tawakkul, reliance on Allah, yaqeen in Allah? Anyone? Come on. She must have heard so many stories over the years, so many bayans, so many lessons. You know, sahabi, don't you? Sahabi, a companion of us. Yeah, when it comes to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, a person might say, you know, they're the prophets, you know, they were free from sin. But Sahaba, they were humans, yeah, just like me and you. They were not free of sin, they were not free of mistakes. They did, certain Sahaba did make mistakes. But like I mentioned last week, that the mistakes of Sahaba they made were very minor in comparison to the sins that we, me and you, we commit on a daily basis. MashaAllah. And Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he was given the order to migrate towards Madinah Munawwara, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu alone, that was his companion. And Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the night before, told him, "No, we're going tomorrow, leaving everything behind, family, wealth, everything, and we're going to a new place." Yeah, so a person must have a high level of iman and tawakkul and belief in Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in order for him to sacrifice everything. Anything else? He accepted Islam, but was the, I want more to show the level of iman. Surah Taha. Which made Surah Taha, then that was the effect of the Quran. One, I said. He didn't hide his iman. He disclosed his iman. He made an i'lan, announced his iman. Yeah, that was his level. He said, "I'm not going to hide. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has blessed me with iman. I'm not going to hide this iman." And so on. Nothing. I'll just give a few examples from my own side. Yeah? Many stories can be found. Yeah? We just take the example of the Battle of Uhud. And when he came to the Battle of Uhud, who knows what happened in the Battle of Uhud? One briefly. One, Imran. Yeah, so there's some archers, Rasulullah told him to stay on their post on top of the mountain. And they didn't do it on purpose. They thought the battle was finished and the Muslims have won, and we can go help them collect the spoils of war. But then they violated the command of Rasulullah, even though unknowingly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them the effect of that. And that was that many of the Sahaba, they were martyred, and a victory turned into kind of defeat. So at that time, when the Sahaba, because there was a sudden attack upon them, they started to disperse. But it was amongst these Sahaba, they were running left, right, and center. You know, a person can just imagine, they're in the middle of the war, they're getting attacked from all sides. They panicked, and they started to run away in order to regroup and so they can attack again. But at this time, Anas bin Nadr radiallahu ta'ala, who was a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that time he called out to the other Sahaba, that, "Oh, Sahaba, my friends, where are you going?" He said, "I can smell Jannah. I can smell paradise. I can smell the fragrance of paradise coming from behind the mountain of Uhud." That was the level of iman and yaqeen. That's how much they understood and they had reliance in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he could literally smell the fragrance of Jannah coming from behind the battle of Uhud. So the mountain of Uhud. And he went forward and he was attacked by the enemy. I don't know how many wounds he had in his body when they found him. Bit higher. 80. Yeah, they found 80 wounds in his body. Yeah. So imagine that level of iman that they must have had. That he's getting attacked 10, 20, 30, but he carries on fighting until at the end, after 80 wounds, he passes away. It is mentioned that in that same battle, when Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala an, he's known as Hanzala al-Ghasil, the one who was bathed. Why? Because he was just newly married. His first day he got married, and it was his first night with his bride. And he heard, he spent the night with his wife in the morning, even before he could perform ghusl, perform a bath, he heard the call that Rasulullah is saying, that come for battle, the battle of Uhud. And without even performing ghusl, he went and he gave his life for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after he passed away, Rasulullah, he said to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that I can see the angels giving a bath to Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala an. You know, in Jannah, with vessels of gold and silver. Yeah. Many other examples as well. Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala an, before he brought Iman, he was one of the most, you can say, pampered youngsters of Makkah Mukarramah. Yeah, his parents used to, especially his mother, used to completely pamper him. He used to wear the best of clothes. He used to have the best fragrance. But when he was shown the light of Iman, he gave up everything for the sake of the kalima la ilaha illallah. His family disowned him, and he had to give up everything. And it is mentioned that when he passed away, then there wasn't even enough cloth to fit his coffin. So when they would try to cover his face, then his feet would be exposed. And when they would try to cover his feet, then his head would be exposed. So what they had to do was, they used the cloth to cover his face, and for his feet, they just used some leaves in order to cover his feet and bury him like this. So he had everything in terms of this dunya. But when he understood the truth, when he had understood the truth of La ilaha illallah, he gave everything for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the incidents, Suhaib Arumi radiallahu anhu, and the Quraysh, they were constantly after him. And he had much wealth. So he finally got fed up and he said to the Quraysh, that if I was to give you all my wealth, then will you just leave me alone? He tried to migrate to Medina Munawwara to Rasulullah, but the Quraysh wouldn't let him go, and they kept mithering him and kept troubling him. So he said that I have a lot of wealth, you know, I am a very rich person. If I was to give you all of my wealth, then will you leave me alone? He said yes. They became greedy. Yeah, he said, yeah, if you give us all your wealth, then you're free to go. So he said, you can have everything. He left everything in Makkah Mukarramah with the Kufar, the Quraysh, and he went to Rasulullah. And when Rasulullah, he saw him, he said to him, that, O Suhaib, you've done a very good transaction. That transaction that you have done, that sacrifice that you have given, it will be very beneficial in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah bin Umar, radiallahu ta'ala an, the son of Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, when he came to the Battle of Badr, the first battle of the Muslims from Medina Munawwara, do you know how old he was when he wanted to go into war? I don't know. 14 years, mashallah. He was 14 years old. Yeah. So, some of you are probably older than 14. Yeah. Abdul Manan, definitely. Yeah. Some of you are close to 14. Can you even imagine going and being ready to give yourself, give your life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yeah, if it was called, you know, you have to go for jihad. Yeah, with 14-year-old would be ready to give his life. So, but he was ready. And remember, Battle of Badr, how many Muslims were there? 313, and the disbelievers, 1,000. So the odds were, you know, they were three times more. So imagine, you were told at this age, you know, you got to go fight, you got to give your life. The enemy is three times larger than you. Yeah, me and you, who would be ready? But Umar, he presented himself. But Rasulullah, he said to him that, no, you're too young. But the next year, when it was the Battle of Uhud, he turned, what age? 15. Then Rasulullah, he accepted him. So ask yourself, a 15-year-old, complete youngster, what kind of iman must he have had that he is ready to give his life for the sake of deen? So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that وَإِذَا قِيلَ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ, that bring iman like how the Sahaba brought iman. Mine and yours, our iman is completely fake. Yeah, we get tested a little bit and we fail. Yeah, dunya gets presented in front of us, glitters slightly in front of us, and we sacrifice the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, let alone sacrificing this dunya, we can't even sacrifice our sleep. When it comes to Fajr Salah, we can't even sacrifice our sleep for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas Salah is the foundational pillars of deen. As-salatu imaduddin. You must have prayed the hadith as well so many times. The Salah is a pillar of deen. But we can't even sacrifice our sleep, let alone sacrificing our wealth, sacrificing our family, sacrificing our health, sacrificing our life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنُ النَّاسِ. So, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the messages He gives from this verse is that iman, it desires simpleness. Iman is not something very complicated. A person has to do something extra special. No, it needs, it desires simpleness and it desires humbleness. In order for a person to have true Iman, he has to humble himself. He has to follow those people who, in terms of this dunya, they had nothing. Yeah? There's nothing, you know, every person nowadays, you know, everyone wants to be unique. Yeah? Everyone wants to be like, you know, I'm the one, whether it's in terms of his clothes, that, you know, I have clothes that no one else has, I have shoes that no one else has, I have such a car, I have such a house that no one has. Yeah? A person likes to show off, he likes to be unique. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this is not the way of Iman. If you want to have Iman, aminu kama amanan nas. Just be like everyone else. Just following the ways of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no uniqueness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are all His servants. Yeah, if you want to be unique, then you won't fit amongst the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how the kuffar, the reason why they deprived themselves of Iman, was they wanted to be unique. They didn't want to be like these poor people. They didn't want to be like everyone else. They want to have some special status. Now, if we accept Rasulullah, if we follow the Sahaba, then we're just going to be like common people. We don't want to be common people. We want to be from the leaders. We want to be from the special people. But this is what deprives a person from Iman and from the benefits of Iman. So they consider themselves, you know, as clever, as sophisticated. You know, these are simple people. Their minds don't work properly. You know, we're very intellectual. Ibn Kathir, rahmatullah alayhi, mentioned in the tafsir of this, that when it came to Iman, these people, they measured the truth by status. They thought to themselves, the way a person can understand if someone is true or not, someone is under one haq or batil, the way is that you look at his worldly status. The Sahaba, majority of them, they were of a low worldly status, so they can't be on the truth. No, we're of a higher status, so we must be on the truth. They didn't realize that Iman is not dependent on the person's worldly status, is dependent on a person's sincerity. The more ikhlas, the more humbleness, the more tawadu, the more abdiyah a person has in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more a person shows he is a servant in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is how a person's iman should be measured, and this is how a person can tell who is on the haq and who is on batil. And one last point, I'll just finish on. There's more points to mention, so we'll carry on next week. But over here, when they were told to bring Iman, then rather than bringing Iman, or rather than just saying no, they had to mock the believers. They said, kama amana sufaha, these foolish people. So the commentators mentioned that this is the way of the disbelievers, that you will always mock and ridicule the believers. So this happened in the lives of the previous Anbiya alayhi salam, it happened in the life of Rasulullah, it happened in the lives of the Sahaba, and it will continue to today. That person who is steadfast upon Iman, a person who is steadfast upon the Sharia, steadfast upon Islam, then most definitely those who do not have Iman, they will ridicule you. They'll make fun of you. Yeah? So whether it may be in school, college, when it comes to work, when a person is confronted with kufr, then they, you know, when it comes in terms of proofs and evidences, you know, they can't challenge you. When it comes to in terms of piety and a person being good, they can't challenge believers. So when a person he has nothing, then what does he resort to? Making fun of the person. Oh, you're like this, you're like this. So a person will be tested. But, you know, you might be performing salah and people saying, what are you doing? You're washing your feet in the sink, making fun of you. You know, why did you grow a beard for? You know, why are you so backwards for? You know, you don't have a girlfriend. You know, what kind of person are you? All these kind of things. People will say certain things. But what we can take solace in, what we can take comfort in, is that if a person finds himself in such a situation, then know that you are on the path of kama aman nas. You are on the path of the Sahaba, which is the path of Rasulullah, which is the path of all the other prophets as well. If a person wishes that he continues to practice Islam, he stays firm on his Iman, and he won't get made fun of, people won't mock him. You know, this is wishful thinking. If Sahaba, who had the strongest of Iman, they were ridiculed, meaning you will definitely be ridiculed as well. But when people make fun of us, they shouldn't put us off Iman, they should make our Iman stronger as well. Alhamdulillah, I'm on the path of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, I'm on the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So never get disheartened. Yeah, obviously a person doesn't want to put himself in a position where other people will make fun of him. But if a person does find himself in such a situation, then we should not care. Because when it comes to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it doesn't matter what the creation says. So our goal and objective in life is to please the Creator, not the creation. Yeah, that person who always tries to please the creation, then will end up displeasing the Creator. So when a person wishes to stay steadfast on the deen, sometimes not even only the disbelievers as well. Unfortunately, the level of iman within as Muslims as well has become so low as well. That a person who wants to follow the Sharia, wants to follow the Sunnah, sometimes his own family members, sometimes his own friends will make fun of him, like, you know, you're too strict. Oh, what are you doing? Become Maulvi. Yeah, Maulvi ban gaya. Or when it comes to certain weddings and certain customs, and, no, we have to do it like this. You know, what are people going to say if you don't do this? No, this is the norm. This is, you know, this is society now. The times have changed. No. This is the real test of iman. Sahaba, they were tested, you know, with their lives. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such comfort. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us in different ways. Yeah, we are weak, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He probably won't test us with our lives. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us in these different ways. That, you know, do we fear what people will say, or do we stay steadfast and accept what other people say for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or do we give in to what people say? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to act upon what has been mentioned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all steadfastness upon iman, and may He make us from the followers of the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, and may He grant us such iman that the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum had as well. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.